In previous night, we talked about how we've died with Christ to the basic principles of this world. And why is it, though we still belong to it, do we submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use, because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship and their false humility and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. And, the main point of this is that we are no longer human. We don't submit to all of these things that regulate how humans live. Because we are not dependent upon ourselves. We are not dependent upon the physical or what it is we can achieve. We are dependent upon God. And one of the things the body of Christ really has to start realizing is that we are a supernatural people. This is what we claim in faith. And remember, to us, the realm of faith is more real than the things we see. We don't walk by what we see. You know, we acknowledge what the truth is. We acknowledge the fact that, you know, if we walk by what we see, we are sinners, right? We acknowledge that there's nothing we can do to achieve anything. We acknowledge that you know, our bodies are still under the law, such as it is, and that sin is condemned in our flesh, that while our spirits have been cleansed through the reconciliation and faith of Jesus' blood, our bodies have yet to be redeemed. We acknowledge these truths. But remember, we don't walk by what we see. We walk by faith. God calls things that are not as though they were, and He calls us His children. He calls us new creations. Behold, all things have passed away. All things are made new. We died with Christ, verse 20, to the basic principles of this world. Why, as though we still belong to it, are we still living as we do? Now, naturally, we cannot achieve this change ourselves. And that's where people make the mistake. We do this in dependency, and we're going to talk a little bit about these things here in chapter 3. How we live this supernatural life. How we live as a people that is no longer of the human quotient. Right? Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not earthly things. Now, what we were talking about yesterday, that may have been hard for a few people to understand, when we say that we are no longer human. Here in chapter 3, we'll make plain, and the basis, the foundation that Paul lays down here by the Holy Ghost, is that we look at our lives as if we have been raised with Christ, as if our bodies have been redeemed. We consider that what was to be dead and buried with Christ, and we focus our mind on heavenly things. This is key. This is something that we have hammered on time and time again. It's called the eternal perspective. Our lives are hidden with Christ above. It's not seen here in this physical realm. What we are does not yet appear. But our hearts are firmly focused upon those things above. Since then that you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your things on above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You know, I said that just a second ago. Praise the Lord. This is how in tune the Spirit is. Praise God. I said that just a moment ago and didn't realize that was going to be the next verse I read. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Praise God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And notice that that's the focus is there, is when you appear. In other words, when it's manifested. In other words, when you receive your resurrection body at the resurrection of the dead. Right now, you walk as if you have been raised. Right? And we stay in that attitude until that life does appear. And when will it appear? And this is the cool thing. It'll appear when Christ appears. Right? It will appear when Jesus appears. You see how that works? Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. What is that earthly nature? It's human. It's of Adam. Put it to death. See, this is all about submission being the key, isn't it? Having an eternal perspective, your focus is on the heavenlies, and you are submitted in your flesh. This is putting things in proper order, where your body is in submission to your spirit. Your spirit says, we are new creations in Christ, and your body should say, amen. Even though it doesn't yet appear that way. Because you've taken control of your body, self-discipline. See how that attitude is pivotal? That attitude of understanding, of revelation of the Holy Spirit is pivotal. That you are living according to that eternal perspective and not according to what you see. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality. Now, I want you to notice how all of these things that draw you back into pleasing your flesh. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. Those are all about the very things that Adam gave in to please Eve, huh? To feed her appetites rather than please God. But the spirit was in bondage to the body through its desires. These are all desires of the flesh. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, and the life you once lived. And notice how it phrases it. That is the life you once lived. No more. You're no longer of that life. What does that mean? You're no longer of that life. The life you once lived. You're not human anymore. Now compare this exactly with what it said. Why is, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use because they're based on human commands and teachings. Do you see that comparison? You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Wow. See, everybody starts to act according to knowledge. Just like a child has to be trained. Well, you know, in the beginning, that training, that discipline of your parents may be grievous to you, right? A lot of hand slapping. A lot of discipline, you know, as parents do. But after a while, it becomes part of your character, doesn't it? It becomes part of your character. That's why it says, beat your child with a rod and he will not die. It becomes part of his character not to do certain things and to do other things. That's just human training. But compare this to that. By you walking in that self-discipline that proceeds from the knowledge of God and his will, by revelation of Christ, you are training yourself and you are submitting the members of your body to God's use. And this then becomes your nature. Like Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. That's the way you start to live. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Get it? That's that training. There is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. In other words, there are no more human. There is no more human in the body of Christ. There is no more of those fleshly distinctions. There is no more according to flesh and blood. There is no more according to Adam. It's all Christ. There is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, see, that's not the Jews, is it? God's chosen people. That's you. Those of the Spirit. Those whose circumcision is of the heart. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. See, wherever it says clothe yourselves, it means put on Christ. Now, the writer may be distinctive about the parts of Christ that you're putting on, but it's all about putting on Christ, isn't it? Because Christ is all these things. Compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another, in the same way that Christ has done so with us and is doing so. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. See, all of these, you see how that documents it? That all of these are the attitudes and properties of Jesus himself. So when you clothe yourself with these things, you are putting on Christ. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And putting on love, why does it say that specifically? Because part of putting on Christ is putting on the Holy Ghost, the very nature of God. Wearing the Holy Ghost. You know what that means, to wear the Holy Ghost? To put on love? It is to wear the essence of God. It is to wear the nature of God. Put him on. Get swallowed up in him. Because this is the truth of what is represented in the resurrection, where your body, where death is swallowed up by life, right? Where your body, this body is swallowed up by that body. Well, this which is sown in dishonor is raised in honor, and this which is sown in weakness is raised in power. Because when we talk about putting on Christ, we are slowly putting on the resurrection. Remember what it said in the beginning. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above. You are walking as if you have been raised, as if you have put on what? The resurrection. As if you have put on Christ. Remember what it said in 1 Corinthians 15? That mortality must put on immortality. And corruption must put on incorruption. That's what we're talking about here. We do this first according to the Spirit, and it will be manifested in the putting on the resurrection. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against each other. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And notice how the focus now is on that unity. That remember that you're not the end all of Christ, you're one member. And as you take, look at the picture here, as you take your members into submission to serve Christ, so you are a member of this body, that this body takes in submission to serve Christ. Right? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, because you have no righteousness of your own. Apart from Christ, none of this is possible. Right? Wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. I want you to look at that in a different way for a minute. How about wives submit to your husbands? How about bodies submit to the Spirit? When it says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them, how about spirits, cherish those bodies and do not be harsh with them? Remember what it says? I want you to see something back that we just read. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use because they're based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have the appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. In other words, beating your body with a whip, or starving it, or cutting off a piece of it, is being harsh to your body, right? That is not going to restrain its sensual indulgence, because the sensual indulgence is in the nature, not in the member. You hear what I'm saying? The self-indulgence is in the nature, not in the member. Now notice how it says, similarly here, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Because the problem isn't in the members of the wife, is it? The problem is in the nature. See what you learned? Because I want you to know how all of these things are the same. Whether we're talking about physically in these relationships or where we're talking about spiritually, how these things are portrayed, it's all the same. Because what you would do with your body is what you would do with your wife. And wife, what you would do with your husband is what you would do with your body. I mean your spirit. I'm sorry, I misspoke. Just as you would submit to the Spirit's leading. Right? So women would submit themselves to their husbands. Because we picture these things of the eternal plan in the things that we do. And we do so not just because we're trying to. We do so because it is our nature now to portray these truths, right? Children, obey your parents and everything, for this pleases the Lord. See, all of these things have an application spiritually because we seek to please God. Don't we? Fathers, do not embitter your children, for they will become discouraged. Can you see an application for that spiritually? We cannot foist upon people a life of suffering that they do not accept. The church cannot treat her children that way, right? We cannot give them a picture of the Father that would embitter them. Remember, it's free will worship, right? You train a child, but when he reaches a certain age, he has to choose that way. And we need to give the people of the church the freedom to choose it, not to hit them and beat them down to make them toe the line, and not to embitter them and run them off because they won't accept our way or our correction. We have to allow them the time to choose, because this is what this time of grace is, the time to choose. Don't ever burn a bridge that you don't have to with a person. Right? When we teach them about God, yeah, we don't want to put them into bondage. We don't want to embitter them against God by giving them a false picture of God, do we? Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it, not only when their eye is on you, to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. See, slaves should see their masters as what? As the Lord. And they should serve them as they would what? Serve the Lord. Well, isn't that again another picture of body and spirit, where the body is a slave to the master of the spirit? Right? And should not see it as a grievous thing. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Whatever, when we're called to submit, we do so joyfully. Right? We are all slaves of Christ. Remember what Paul said. Every man is the Lord's slave, and every slave is the Lord's free man. Our freedom is according to the Spirit and freedom from sin, but we are slaves to the truth, and we have chosen that. You know, it's one thing for you to be taken into bondage. It's another for you to choose that. Because it's not bondage, it's your choice. It is the life you've chosen to serve. We choose to be slaves. It's in the same way that we choose to die. We don't choose to live in this world the way it is anymore. We choose to lay down our lives with Christ. We choose to be living sacrifices. That's choosing to be a slave. Then, the secret is you're not really a slave if you've chosen it. It is the life that you've chosen for yourself. Get it? Well, Paul is telling, this is telling slaves to their masters the same thing here. You're not a slave if you choose to go beyond what your master requires. Then, you're doing it out of free will to serve. Right? Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Get it? Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Praise God. That's a good place to stop. But do you see how these very clear physical instructions lead to very clear spiritual instructions for how to submit yourself to God in this relationship and live as one who is risen from the dead? Live as one whom the world no longer has ties over. Because you chose to submit yourself the whole way. Can you see this? The key here is to willingly submit. Not to be forced to submit. To willingly submit. To choose this life of denying the flesh, so that you can live according to the freedom of the Spirit. And to you, while the rest of the world looks like slavery, because you know what? They want to be free to be sexually immoral, don't they? They don't want to be harnessed with righteousness. They want to be free to be idolaters. Right? They want to be free to choose their own things and to go their own way as rebels. They think that's freedom, and that's bondage. That's bondage to a nature that we no longer walk. We have chosen to put the all through our ear. We have chosen to be slaves of heaven. And because we have chosen that, we're not slaves. We're free. And we're free, therefore, from the bondages of this world to hold us. Because we've been enslaved with chains of a heavenly making, not of an earthly one. You see the whole attitude? That's the attitude of God's saints.